Hello, this is Sharon. Welcome to the Pantograph for today, Wednesday, April 22nd, 2026. We begin today's reading with the Eats of the Week column. Ice cream, an old-time treat. Retired Leroy couple uses traditional setup on a trailer. Cassie and Tom Gerty, a retired couple from Leroy, say they love giving back to their community these days by traveling to offer traditionally made frozen treats. Old Time Ice Cream is a shop in a trailer, and the heart of it is a traditional ice cream machine Tom Gerty bought in 2018 from an Amish man who also taught him how to use it and the Amish ingredients they use. It has regular stops in Bloomington and Leroy and also goes to special events. Customers think it's fun. It's something different. It's not, you know, pulled out of a soft serve machine, you know, and they like the texture of it. It's a little bit different. And I think they like supporting local businesses. You know, we're not a chain. We make it ourselves. So I think they find that pretty cool, said Kat, who worked as an accountant for 30 years. The vintage setup makes ice cream the old-fashioned way, with salt and ice in a metal and wooden maker. Tom, who worked as an operating engineer for International Union of Operating Engineers Local 649 in Peoria, described the ice cream maker's power source as a 1946 International Harvester 3-5 horsepower engine. He said it's like an old utility engine you would have on a farm. And getting the revolutions right is what determines the ice cream's quality. They can make up to 5 gallons of ice cream at a time, and one batch takes about 30 minutes. They started selling their original 3 ice cream flavors under a tent, but eventually had their custom trailer built in 2021. We started off with only 3 flavors. Vanilla, cookies, and cream, and the butter pecan. And then now we always have those 3 on the menu, but we can make about 50 different flavors in addition to those, but we serve 6 each time we're out, said Cassie. The Amish butter pecan and the cookies and cream and vanilla are the most popular flavors. Cassie said she thinks most people gravitate toward vanilla because if they know an ice cream shop's most basic flavor is good, then the rest are good too. She said they try to always offer a fruit flavor and a candy flavor, and they also try not to have more than 2 flavors with nuts in them and more than 2 gluten-free at a time, so customers with allergies can still enjoy their goodies without risk. Tom said a lot of the ingredients they use are Amish. They travel to Arthur to get them, so sometimes their offerings depend on what ingredients they have on hand. Flavors like lemon are also super popular in the summer, as are key lime pie, butterfinger, mint chocolate chip, and peanut butter chocolate chip. They try to change up their offerings depending on the event they're going to. For example, if they're going to a kid-focused event, they may offer a cotton candy flavor. In addition to ice cream, they also offer ice cream floats in 7 different flavors, including traditional root beer, orange creamsicle, Coke, black cherry, strawberry, pineapple, and mango orange. They also may add a Dr. Pepper flavor in the future. If the weather is cold, they also offer coffee, and they also sell bottled water. This year, the couple recently started bringing the truck to the Miracle League of Central Illinois, a baseball program for physically and mentally challenged individuals on Sundays in Normal, providing the players with free ice cream. They plan to do that throughout the season for all dates they're available. They're also planning to work with residents of the Bridge Homeless Shelter in downtown Bloomington to bring them free ice cream once a month. They also have built partnerships with Wishbone Canine Rescue in Normal and the Humane Society of Central Illinois, and they try to help them out with events whenever they call. They hope to partner with Heartland Head Start in Bloomington to offer a free ice cream day for the kids. Old Time Ice Cream also can be found at the Illinois State Fair. This will be their fourth year in the Illinois Department of Natural Resources Conservation World Area throughout the nearly two-week event. The Garrities said they often get asked a lot of questions about the truck while they're making ice cream at the fair, and they see a lot more people. In town here, we're usually open starting at 3 p.m., depending on the time of year. Right now, we're open 3 to 8 p.m., and we'll soon be open 3 to 9 p.m., and then if we're busy, we just don't close until all the people are gone, Tom said. Cassie said sometimes they open earlier if they have more of a lunchtime event. Some of the other events they do include Illinois Agriculture Association's Member Appreciation Day and Hudson Summer Fest, which is on June 13th this year, and more. They've also done events for Scribbles Center for Learning, Blessing of the Bikes in Hayworth, and the Activity and Recreation Center in Normal, among others. On a typical week, they can be found in the parking lot of the Dollar Tree in Clinton on Monday, Jeffrey Allen's in Normal on Tuesday, William and Swee Law Office on Fox Creed Road in Bloomington on Wednesday, and the Old Dollar General in Leroy on Thursday. Friday through Sunday are typically special event days and vary from week to week. Truck locations and hours are posted daily on their Facebook page. All events and hours are weather permitting, and featured flavors will be posted each day ahead of the event. The Garrities used to go to any event they could possibly get into, but these days they're keeping their radius and event sizes relatively small. Those who are interested in booking them can reach out to them via Facebook or email. Again, this is Old Time Ice Cream, based in Leroy. You can find them on Facebook by searching Old Time, spelled T-Y-M-E, Ice Cream. Their email address is oldtime.2018@gmail.com. Upcoming events, on April 22nd, that's today, from 12 to 3:30, they'll be at the Ark in Normal, and from 4 to 9, they'll be at Williams and Suite LTD in Bloomington. On April 23rd, from 3 to 9, they'll be at the Old Dollar General parking lot in Leroy. On April 24th, from 1 to 9, they'll be at Jeffrey Allen's in Normal for the spring open house. On April 25th, from 1 to 4, they'll be at the Young Entrepreneur Market at Four Seasons Legacy Center. And on April 26th, from 12 to 4, they'll be at the Miracle League of Central Illinois baseball game. Normal OK's TIF Uptown Update. $61.8 million redevelopment is planned for 24 acres. A series of measures creating a new tax increment financing district and a $61.8 million uptown redevelopment plan it would fund were approved by the Normal Town Council on Monday. The items, which had been tabled during the council's April 6th meeting, included amending the existing downtown TIF district, approving a redevelopment plan, and formally adopting the new Uptown North TIF district. According to town documents, the town staff said the new Uptown North TIF is intended to encourage redevelopment of underused parcels by resetting and extending the existing TIF timeline for certain properties and allowing them to benefit from a new district. The change removes 28 parcels from the current downtown TIF and transfers them to the new Uptown North TIF, including both trail and west parking lots along Constitution Boulevard north of Uptown Circle, the Ecology Action Center, and the former Busey Bank and Commerce Bank buildings, all at College Avenue and Broadway, and several parking areas near the water treatment plant. The one notable revision from earlier proposals will leave the Normal Public Library property in the downtown TIF instead of transferring it. City Manager Pam Reese explained that the town needed to keep the parcels connected. The Uptown North TIF covers about 24 acres, including street rights of way, or about 8 acres excluding them, and 31 parcels generally located north of Uptown Circle along Constitution Boulevard up to Mulberry Street. The area includes vacant buildings and nearly 3 acres of parking considered prime for redevelopment, according to town documents. The plan also cites aging infrastructure and deteriorating conditions as factors qualifying the area for state approval of the financing tool. A TIF district keeps property tax revenue for taxing bodies at the level they were at before the TIF, and any additional revenue generated by improving the properties is diverted into a dedicated fund to pay for improvements in the district. The original downtown TIF was established in 2003 and was set to expire in 2026, but lawmakers approved a 12-year extension in 2018 for underdeveloped portions, pushing its expiration to 2038. The new Uptown North TIF replaces and overlaps part of that district. Officials said the current timeline through 2038 was too short to support financing for large-scale projects such as the Trail East and West buildings. The new TIF resets the clock, providing a full 23-year lifespan. The redevelopment plan, prepared by St. Louis-based consultant PGAV, outlines goals of improving infrastructure, addressing blight and unsafe conditions, attracting private development, and expanding the local tax base. The plan says the work will be carried out in phases using a market-driven approach, beginning with infrastructure improvements such as streets, sidewalks, and utilities to remove barriers to development, followed by private investment over time. The area's current equalized assessed value is about $2.67 million and is projected to grow to more than $37 million as redevelopment occurs. In other matters, a public commenter called on the council to consider prohibiting the possession, sale, or delivery of kratom, a plant native to Southeast Asia that can have psychoactive properties when consumed. The city of Bloomington has already joined other Illinois communities by prohibiting the plant in January. The largely unregulated herbal extract can be smoked, brewed into tea, or put into gel capsules, causing a stimulant effect when consumed at a low dose, or a sedative effect when consumed at a high dose. Experts question its effectiveness and warn of dangerous side effects such as addiction and liver damage, according to the Mayo Clinic website. In addition, the council approved authorizing a 3-year agreement with Gateway Fireworks Displays of St. Louis, Missouri, for a total of $125,000 for the annual 4th of July fireworks display. They approved a professional services agreement with Marsh McLellan Agency for $45,600 per year or $3,800 monthly for insurance broker services. They approved a contract with Surf Prep Incorporated to resurface the apparatus bay for the Normal Fire Department headquarters for $63,000. They approved the final plat for the Bramble Hall subdivision at 300 West Willow Street, and they appointed Sheila Dodd to the Bloomington Normal Assawaka Sister Cities Committee. Entertainment, McMurty Black Dog at Castle. James McMurty and the Martial Law Review are set to perform this week at the Castle Theater in Bloomington. They will perform at 8 p.m. on Friday, April 24th, promoting McMurty's latest album, The Black Dog and the Wandering Boy. Betty Sue will open the show, and McMurty said they perform a few songs together during each set, too. McMurty released The Black Dog and the Wandering Boy in June and said he credits John Mellencamp, John Prine, and Kris Kristofferson as his musical inspirations. He got his start playing beer garden gigs in Tucson, Arizona in the early 80s and then moved to San Antonio, where he is based now. McMurty said his dad, who was a screenwriter, sent him to work on a project with Mellencamp while he was planning a move to Nashville. McMurty saw it as a good opportunity to show Mellencamp his demo tape. "I figured if I got a John Mellencamp cut, I'd get along a little better. John didn't want to cut any of my songs, but he liked what I did. He had some time on his hands, so he got me a record deal and produced my first record, Too Long in the Wasteland," McMurty said of his musical beginning in 1989. He produced his first 3 albums with Columbia Records, but since he stopped working with Columbia, he spent the majority of his career touring and continuing to make new music. For his last few records, McMurty has brought in outside producers to help mix up his style. For The Black Dog and The Wandering Boy, McMurty worked with Don Dixon, who worked on his 3rd record 30 years ago. McMurty said he liked Dixon's process of cutting live in the studio and figuring out which takes have the most life. "It was all pretty enjoyable. It was pretty smooth," he said. McMurty drew from his own life and his family's story for this record. "I like the title track pretty well, The Black Dog and the Wandering Boy. Those two characters were actually 2 of my father's hallucinations when he was getting old and lapsing into dementia," he said. That song, along with Laredo, Small Dark Something, touch on his dad's struggles. McMurty said he plans to perform the title track and several others from his new album on Friday night, including The Color of the Night, Sailing Away, and Sons of the Second Sons, plus some old favorites like Too Long in the Wasteland and Fuller Brush Band. McMurtry has played the castle several times before, including a show with the Bottle Rockets, and he said the downtown Bloomington venue tends to draw a good, enthusiastic crowd. The energy from the crowd and from the band, it's a good room with a good crew, he said. I hope it all connects with my audience. It's just a good time, really. Some of his songs get a little political, he said, but McMurtry doesn't mind if it makes the crowd a little uncomfortable. That means they're thinking. I want them to listen and want them to think, but I don't want to beat them to death with it, so overall it's a good time, he said. McMurtry said he learned from Mellencamp that the summit gets taller in front of you as you go along. So although he's not sure whether he's made it in music yet, he just likes to keep going and has no plan to retire. McMurtry will also play at the Off-Broadway nightclub in St. Louis on Thursday and at the Old Town School of Folk Music in Chicago on Saturday. Tickets for the Bloomington show are $25 and can be purchased at the Castle Rock, thecastletheater.com or at the Castle Theater box office. And again, if you want to go, the show is James McMurtry and the Martial Law Review with Betty Sue, 8 p.m. on April 24th at the Castle Theater, 209 East Washington Street in Bloomington. Tickets are $25 and up. And again, you can order them at the website, thecastletheater.com. Today's Flick Fact question. On college football fields all over Illinois, spring football is ending and another season is next in August. So we ask, can you name the only Illinois town or city where three Illinois universities played their first ever football game? Is it 1, Champaign-Urbana, 2, Decatur, 3, Bloomington-Normal, or 4, suburban Chicago? And the answer? It's 3, Bloomington-Normal, where both of its hometown teams, Illinois State Normal and Illinois Wesleyan, played their first games. And also the University of Illinois, which played its very first football game in Bloomington in 1890 and also lost 16-0 to IWU. 6 weeks later, the U of I also won its first ever football game, this time played in Urbana, 12-6, against Wesleyan. And from the past pages of the Pantograph, how time flies locally. 100 years ago, on April 22, 1926, the expenses of operating the city schools will be curtailed during the ensuing year to the extent of $25,000, as a result of the action taken at a special meeting of the Board of Education. The bulk of the savings is money paid in salaries. The largest department that will be discontinued will be kindergarten. 75 years ago, on April 22, 1951. If you haven't already got your tickets, you'll have to wait until next year to see the Passion play. The last 4 tickets for the 1951 show were sold to Mrs. Betta Fogel of El Paso, who directs ticket sales, and said that 13,180 tickets were sold that year. 50 years ago, on April 22, 1976, putting an end to consideration of having 2 grade schools share a principal next year, Bloomington's District 87 Board of Education voted to assign 1 principal to each of its 8 remaining grade schools. There had been some discussion of having 1 principal for both Centennial and Lincoln schools. And 25 years ago today, on April 22, 2001, Fell Park in Bloomington is scheduled for a facelift, while plans may be delayed for a $1 million project at White Oak Park. The Bloomington City Council will take up both matters at its meeting at 7:30 p.m. Monday in the City Council chambers. White Oak Park is budgeted for a game-quality combined soccer and football field, in addition to a community building, parking lot, and landscaping. The building is to include locker rooms, restrooms, storage, and a meeting room. The plans could be delayed by several weeks if the council agrees with the city's staff to discard both bids for the project because they are over the projected amount. Femley Dickerson Company bid $1,071,584 and Stark Excavation Incorporated bid $1,175,300. The planning estimate was only $921,158. Bloomington's five-day forecast, it will be warm today with clouds and sun. You can expect 3 to 6 hours of sunshine with average relative humidity of 70% and a high temperature of 77 degrees. It will be mainly clear tonight, with average relative humidity of 80% and a low temperature of 56 degrees. Tomorrow, Thursday, will be partly sunny, windy, and warm. You can expect 8 to 12 hours of sunshine with average humidity of 55% and temperatures between 78 and 62 degrees. On Friday, there's a chance of showers and thunderstorms. Temperatures will be between 73 and 48 degrees. Saturday, mostly sunny, breezy, and nice. Temperatures between 71 and 48 degrees. And then on Sunday, it will be mostly cloudy and breezy. The high temperature will be 71 degrees and the low 51. Regarding today's pollen counts, mold and grass is low. There is no pollen from weeds. However, tree pollen is very high. The pantograph wants you to let them know about any issues regarding accuracy and fairness. You can contact them by calling 309-820-3242 or email ojacobs@pantograph.com. We'll take a short break now and then return with the second half of the pantograph for Wednesday, April 22nd, 2026. Please stay tuned.